This is the Saddled Stallion podcast, where men are equipped and encouraged to understand their wiring, clarify their mission, and find purpose along the path to its fulfillment. I'm your host, Chad Kanier, and I'm stoked to have you here. Let's roll.
Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 14, which is the final episode of this author interview mini series where I'm interviewing writer, podcaster, husband, father, and corporate juggernaut Chad Kanier about his new book, Dying in the Wilderness, Finding Purpose Through Failure. Chad, thanks for coming back on.
Thanks, man. I think this is the last time I have to say it, and I'm glad this is the last time I have to say it. I'm not a corporate juggernaut. If anyone is listening to this, if they've listened to this whole series, they've thoroughly realized that I am not a corporate juggernaut, juggernaut of any kind. I'm just some guy with a microphone. That's all it is.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm proud of what you've done. I'm proud of what you've done.
Everybody needs a guy in their corner. You know, you're the guy fanning me with the towel. I have like a good round, and you're like, this guy. I knew it from the start. Training myself. I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that's like supposed to throw in the towel if you're like getting beat too much, and I'm like, get off the mat.
He won't do it. I'm like, please throw in the towel. You're like, never. I believe in you. I die. Really did not have my bag at the end of the day.
That's so good. Oh my god.
We could go on those tears forever. I feel like people are just listening to a bunch of idiots.
Dude, that's so true. Something happened today and I literally like saw this car almost make this bad move and I like in my head started dialoguing. I was like, oh man, I need Chad here. We would go like on and on about what was about to happen.
Oh, I know.
Right,
and the girls would be looking at us like freaking idiots.
That's so true. Dude, by the way, I was just thinking before we came on, like y'all are going to be in town, but back in Dallas, like maybe not this weekend, but next weekend, we'll get to hang out with y'all, man. That'll be awesome.
Man, absolutely. Let's plan on that. Dallas is crazy. Dallas is growing. It's like the fastest growing city in the United States or something like that. It's like,
dude,
top
it
five.
Is, man. It's crazy. Like, I thought, you know, when y'all lived here, which wasn't that long ago, a couple years ago, like, it was growing a lot back then, but now it's just like, traffic here has gotten like kind of crazy. Even on all the back roads, you know, that like, if you're like, quote unquote, a local, you take all the back roads and you never sit in traffic. Well, now it's like, those roads don't exist
anymore. Yeah, you're like, I'm going to go down Cole instead of going down to McKinney. Yeah. And you're like, oh, Cole sucks too now. That's
yeah,
a problem.
Dude, for sure.
And then you start hitting up Buena Vista and all those back roads.
Dude, those are the way in the back. I love that. Dude, hey, that was awesome that you even knew the name of that.
Dude, come
road.
On.
That
I used to run down there, the trails. I mean, you start taking the trail everywhere. You're like, I'm walking. Gosh. F it.
Oh, dude. And yeah, I thought about you because I was at Trader Joe's like yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, getting a little pick six. And I was like, man, this is right near where Chad's spot's at.
Yeah, man. It's where we officed out of when we were trying to build that one business.
Yep. 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 That's where I started first shooting you and your podcast and stuff.
Yeah. I got good memories.
Yeah. For sure, man. That was fun. All right, cool, man. Well, I'm going to take us on into the first question here. So you titled, this is about the epilogue. Is epilogue proper? Is that the way it's said?
You crushed it. Don't doubt yourself.
Okay, perfect. So this is about the epilogue. And I was just curious, why did you title the epilogue The Well? And what is the meaning or origin behind that for you?
Like every time in the wilderness, I ran out of energy. And I mean, it was bad, guys. It was really bad. Like we were living off of savings. I would bring home, I think at one point I was bringing home like $3,000 a month, and that's fine. But we owned a home in Dallas. And like that was, I think our mortgage was $3,200 bucks a month. So it's like, congrats. You almost covered the roof over our heads. And meanwhile, I went to like a, you know, we were used to making way more money than that. My wife works. But I mean, we have kids and we send them to private schools. Like there were certain things we just won't budge on. And it just got really, really tight. Some months especially. And it wasn't just that. There was a lot of stress around like, what's next? Like, you're not on an actual contract. You just get cash every month. Like, what happens if that business doesn't go well? This is me consulting for random companies and stuff. And
yeah,
what happens if we have a bad month? Like, there was just no margin, and we were still pulling from savings every month to survive. And then we learn we have another baby on the way. And so if you listen back to that Thirsting for Poison chapter, a lot of what drove those applications to those different consulting firms in Dallas were those kind of those inflection points along the journey, right? Where we have a new baby coming. Okay. All right, Chad, that's enough. Go back and get a job. Then I just couldn't. And I'm like, what's happening? And so like, when I say that God was the well in the middle of the wilderness, it's not the well like I got a drink every time. Like a like I got a big wad of cash in my bank account randomly from a client. I mean, that happened a couple times too, and that was definitely I was definitely praising God that day as well. But it was a well also of knowledge, and like things were dying off from me when like literally there were times where I did not know how miraculously we found a way. We still tithe. I don't know if I told you that, Trevor, but every time we pulled over from savings, we would give 10% to the church.
Wow.
And those were, that was savings.
That's so amazing.
Like, it's not income.
Yeah.
But we were treating it like income. So we're like, you know what? If we are faithful with this money, God will provide for us. Like, God will return this tenfold. Like, he promises it. And he has made good
that's
on those
amazing.
Promises, by the way.
Yeah.
But dude, the well was really just me turning to Jesus when things got really, really hard. And like, I will say, hardest 2 years of my life in business, in money, best 2 years of my life in faith and my walk with Christ. And like, knowing, like learning him and hearing how to, hearing him and understanding, like being in certain scenarios and not feeling him and being like, I got to get out of this scenario, even if the money was there. Like I have to trust him, right? Like
that's
and
so
then being
good.
In other scenarios that are like brokety brokety broke, but I'm like really feeling him, and so I'm like, okay, God, you know. And so just learning how to rely on him like he is water in the middle of a wilderness, and that's what I learned. And I came out with that big realization is like, dude, he is really all we need. Like, feast or famine, he is the well, you know?
That's so good, dude. Dude, I remember, I just remember to this time and how close you got to the Lord, because I just remember in the beginning, it was just like, with you, it was just like business, entrepreneur. And it was just like, I mean, you went in 100 miles an hour
hard.
And like, I was just sit back watching and I was like, you gotta respect it. Gotta respect it. You know,
guy's a grinder. Let's see how this plays out.
Just eating the popcorn, watching it, just excited.
It's going to be great.
But like, dude, and it wasn't that like you weren't like didn't have a connection with the Lord when we first met or anything,
it's
but
different.
You're so right. Like, me knowing you and watching your relationship with the Lord grow during these difficult times in the wilderness, like, you really grew in your relationship with God during this time in like an exponential way.
Well, it's crazy because I look back at the 2 years and I look at the business stuff and I'm like, wow, it was so hard. And I kind of relive some of the good moments and the bad moments and the lessons and all that. But like, you know, like, I got baptized in the middle of all this too. And I got like, if I look at the milestones of my faith walk, like, that was the first time I've been baptized as an adult Christian. I got baptized a bunch as a kid, but like, you don't make a
That's
decision
awesome.
Really when you're seven. Like, I made a personal decision as a man to be like, you know what? It says in the Bible that until you accept him and until you're baptized, he's not going to like fully enter and like walk.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I can't afford to not have that, especially right now. Like, I was, I was desperate. And I
That's
think he
awesome,
had to get
dude.
Me to that point. And then secondly, I entered that full year program at Watermark Church, which is like called Regeneration.
Oh, yeah.
And daily assignments that are like scriptural assignments to help you unpack, like, what are my issues and why are they there? And my family of origin and abuse from my past and forgiving people and asking forgiveness from people. So I was doing a lot of like soul work during all of this business work too. Like, it really was an edifying experience. And I don't think I would have done all that if I wasn't facing the difficulties in business and in money. And so, hell, if I look back, like, maybe all of this, maybe like the interest in like going and building my own business, maybe all of that was put there by God to just pull me closer to him, to put me in a scenario where I would finally like yearn for a relationship with him. Because before That's then, good, he was man. Just kind of a fixture in my life. It was kind of like, I got the money, I got the girl, I got the beautiful son. Oh, yeah, and I got this God thing. I go to church on Sundays and like, we're cool, so I'm going to be successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, yep.
You know, and I could no longer like compartmentalize him. It had to be a relationship.
Dude, that's amazing, man. You're so right, dude. And what you're talking about is the true like moment in people's lives that they have where it goes from a religion, like you were just saying, to an actual relationship where it's like the words from the Bible start to make sense. Like when King David's like, I need you, like, I need you. Like he talks about like a deer, like panting after water, or like he goes into the, all these things and you're kind of like, oh, that's real poetic. But like, he wasn't kidding.
No,
like,
yeah.
And until you have your moment, like for some people it's, you know, they go through like some sort of illness, or for some people they go through some sort of, you know, financial struggle, or some people it's a career struggle, or some people it's a marital struggle. Like everyone has their different time when they can truly take God from a religion to a relationship and really reach out and try to connect with them and be one with them, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's got to go next level. And the only way he takes it next level is through difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, dude, you know this, like me and you especially, like we're so stubborn. So he knows, like he's like, guys, this is just the only way.
Yeah, I feel like I really, yeah, it's so true. Like I look back and I don't know another way. But yeah, man, my buddy Robbie's going through some stuff with his second kid, you know, like they had a kid and he's got a bunch of like stuff. He's got a bunch of medical stuff they're working through. That's his wilderness right there. Like I look at that now and I'm like, no, there's his wilderness. God must really love him. God wants to like pull him closer.
That's
like,
awesome.
I see people
go
through major financial issues and I'm like, there's that wilderness. I see people like lose a loved one and I'm like, all right, little wilderness coming here. And, but like, I used to like feel bad for them for a few minutes. Now I feel bad for about a few seconds. And then I'm like, oh, it's going to be so cool on the back end of that, like who they become.
That's good, man.
You know, like it's just become better when you go through cancer. You just get better when you lose someone and you have to overcome and you're reflecting on that relationship and you grow. I mean, like we grow through hardship. That is how we grow.
Seriously. You know? Dude, that's so good, man. You're so right. It goes from that like superficial, like where you're trying to like convince people you feel bad for them.
God, like, such a thing. Really that is like, oh, is it with money?
And
with
you're
money?
Trying to like find common ground to let them know how you really know how it feels, but you really don't, you know, and then, but it goes from that to like, you really see what God's doing because like you've had your own season like that and you know, like they're good. They're actually going to a better place, you know,
exactly.
With the Lord.
Exactly.
That's cool, man.
So
that's
it's
cool.
Weird when someone tells you bad news and then you're like, I'm so excited for you. And they're like, what? That is not what I'm ready to hear right now.
Oh, shoot, man. Well, I'm going to take us into question. I'm going to jump us into the next question right here. So after doing this mini series, you've kind of touched on this little, you know, as we've gone through, but what new discoveries would you say that you've made about yourself or about the book, like now that you've had to like reread it or work back through it or be asked questions about it, like what new discoveries or what new discovery have you made just doing this series?
That's a great question, man. Well, I'm also, as you know, I'm in the middle of kind of like working on a version 2 of the book. Like I'm adding a foreword from another buddy who's an entrepreneur who's kind of like was in the middle of it with all me a little bit. And I'm just shaping up some of the chapters and stuff. And so, to be honest, like, there's a creative burden there. Like, there's a, I've written this, I've looked at it about 100 times now. It is no longer cool to me. I just want to be done. This isn't even very good. Like, that's just what happens with anyone, anything you create. Like, we've talked about it, right? Like, you are your own worst critic.
Yeah.
And we get really tired of our own stuff really fast, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think this series has reminded me, and like this, I hope it doesn't sound like cocky or anything, but I've reminded me that like this is good. Like this is good for...
That's awesome.
It's not good in that like, man, I'm a hell of a writer, but like there are... I really feel like I got this stuff from God. Like, so...
That's awesome.
I feel like there are layers here because I have even uncovered new layers as we have talked through this stuff.
Right.
It has also taught me kind of what I already knew, but it's weird seeing it with my own book that like I didn't recognize a lot of things until you and I talked through everything. There are layers that you can only unpack with other people. And so that's Nature's Mirror, chapter, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, we don't fully understand our stories even until we have the perspective of others to bounce them off of, right? Some of those things, it's really more about like, oh, wow, like there is some depth here. And God, I just pray that this gets in front of the right person and they're like, 100 pages, I think I can read that. I swear to God, if I would have read one of these chapters in the middle of everything I was going through, it would have changed everything for me.
For sure.
And to see that I'm still, this author I'm reading from, he's still married. He got out of that financial pickle. He has 3 healthy, beautiful kids. Like, he's okay. I'm going to be okay. I just needed to read that.
Dude, that's so good, man. It's so true. And I honestly, same thing. Like, I've gotten, because I've walked that same walk, and now, like, I've gotten so much encouragement from it. Like, even reading these last 2 chapters, you know, to work through these questions and prepare these questions, it's like the muddy diamonds. Like, I was like, ah. Like, that just made me feel good, you know? And then the well, it's like, oh, man, like, just hit me, like, in the right spot. And you're good, so man. Right. Like, going through such a tough thing as entrepreneurship, dude, like, even one chapter of this book, if it touches the right person, dude, it could change their whole season they're in.
Yeah, I just hope so, man. It's all about perspective. And so what do you think your muddy diamonds are, man?
Dude, that's a great question. You're jumping back an episode on us, but so my
like it's kind of a disqualifying question, but yeah, I'll take a stab at it.
I wish you would have asked me this on the last episode, but
well, hey, you just bought yourself some time, so there you go.
No, man, but I'll answer it, you know. So, like, for me, like, my muddy diamonds, I think the main muddy diamond I've found in myself through this whole time is, and you've talked about this, is like my ability to encourage people. Yeah. And to, like you said, like, come alongside them, like, see certain gifts or certain things that they're good at or that they have some skills at. You know, when you were just telling that story earlier about us not seeing these things in ourselves, it reminded me there's this gospel song. It's like one of the most successful gospel songs of all time. And the dude had balled it up and threw it away. And his sister came over, the writer had, and his sister came over and was like, "What are you doing?" He was like depressed. He's like, "I can't write a song. I'm done. Like, this is over." And she literally starts going through the trash can and pulls out this song. And she's like, "This is a good song. Like, you need to record this one. This is a great song." And he recorded it. And it's like one of the top 5 gospel songs of all time.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so it's that whole thing, like you talked about, you know, nature's mirror, like others seeing our gifts and others seeing. So it's like, I've really kind of, you've helped me uncover that muddy diamond of myself, and going through this entrepreneurial time, like I realized I had a gift of like encouraging people and seeing like what people are gaining through these experiences. That's special, you know?
Yeah, dude, I agree. That is definitely one of your giftings. You know, that like, and so, you know, that whatever you do, it's got to have an element that like leverages that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. And yes, you really helped me like, you know, polish that muddy diamond, you know, like, hey, like that thing's kind of shiny. You need to polish that up and like, oh, wow, this is something. So you really helped me like find that there.
Good, man. Good.
Absolutely, man. So, dude, last thing, we'll just finish the series off with this. So what are your like current plans for the future as far as like writing or recording or content creation? You know, what's your, you know, next step or next few steps that you got in mind?
We've talked about this a lot, dude, but I got the vision a long time ago. It's still very opaque, but it is. So I've gotten 2 visions. One is that I'm a table. Like we talked about that. It's like I'm a portable table that needs to be put before kings and needs to be put before paupers. So like, and I help people come from all these different angles, and I help them like share ideas and I connect them, and we all bring something. Like, it's like a potluck situation. Like, we're,
that's so
I bring
good.
This thing that represents me a little bit and I contribute or whatever, but like I bring it all together. So I'm like a unifying element that is like, but a table is humble. Like,
yeah,
no one celebrates the table, you know? Like, it's cool,
that's
table.
So good.
And I'm a circular stone table with leather straps. Mm. Like, I've already seen it. I have a very clear image. Don't know what that means. I'm going to leave that one right there. That's number one.
Wow. That's
number
that's
two
cool.
is I'm supposed to build something. It's kind of similar, I guess, if I connect the concepts, but I'm supposed to build something that in a very dry wasteland, there's like a forest there where there's lush, there's life. There's people coming, and like it's a destination. People are trying to get there, and when they get there, they are sharing their dreams. They're encouraging each other. Mm, they're going down all these different paths, and they're exploring their entrepreneurial abilities or their spiritual abilities or whatever. And there's like this program, or there's something that like they go through that like helps them do all that. And so,
that's good.
Long story short, those are my two kind of vision icons. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so hard to connect the material to that.
Right.
But that's my mission, man. And so
I love it.
I feel like there's something happening with like bringing people together, even like bringing guys together and talking about career. Like, I don't know if that happens enough. Like, we young guys too are like, what do you think you are equipped to do?
Mm.
Like, what do you want to do? Maybe creating a program where people can go and just try things. Like, they can like demo different lifestyles. They can like shadow people doing all these different jobs just to start like ruling things out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so before they go spend $200,000 at some university to go be an accountant because my dad was an accountant or whatever, like, what do I want to do? You know?
That's good.
And I don't know, providing some of those things. And so I don't know where all that connects, but yeah, man, I want to keep writing. I need a break, to be honest. It's a seasons thing. I need a break, but I need to keep writing. I want to keep creating content. I'm just a happier person when I'm speaking into the mic every week. I'm just happier.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, man, that's it. I don't know.
That's awesome,
we'll
man.
See.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, hey, I'm going to say this. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Like, keep building content, keep creating, because what you've been putting out is truly, the world needs more of the stuff you've been putting out. And I'm being honest about that. It's challenged me. It's challenged me in my marriage. It's challenged me in my manhood. It's challenged me in my career. It's challenged me in my heart and in my relationship with the Lord. And it's just been truly amazing, you know, just being a consumer of your content, what it's done. So just never stop creating content.
Thank you, Trevor. I appreciate that.
Absolutely,
dude.
Man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on for this final episode, man. It was cool knocking out this series with you, dude. And look forward to doing some more podcasts in the future.
Yeah, man, this is crazy. We're done.
Yep. Right on, man. Well, hey, have a good one. All right.
All right, man. You too.
And just to remind everyone, this little author mini-series is about Chad's new book, Dying in the Wilderness, Finding Purpose Through Failure. You can get it on Amazon in the hardback, softback, ebook, and the audiobook will be coming soon as well. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. Y'all have a blessed night.
Thanks for listening to the Saddled Stallion podcast. That's it, guys. Be strong, be humble, walk in purposeful manhood.